98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Doug and Wolf.
Giving you inside information on the NFL every week.
Dude, what's happening?
NFL insider John Clayton.
Mom, when's dinner?
Joins Doug and Wolf now. Brought to you by Courtesy Chevrolet, serving the Valley for over 60 years. Number one for a reason. Visit CourtesyChev.com.
The Doug and Wolf Insider to the NFL, ClaytonFootball.com. John Clayton joins us every Friday at 7:30. John, any truth to the rumors that Cardinals-Raiders was almost flexed into Sunday Night Football?
They were thinking about it, there was a game, but maybe one of the other games, maybe the Giants. I think they were thinking about putting one of those Giant games on there.
Johnny, sarcasm is so beneath you.
No, it's not. The both of us are funny at it. We're good at it. Thank you, John. Good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm great. How are you?
We're good. Hey, we're jacked up because we think, hey, there could be a win right now as the Raiders have one more sack than Khalil Mack does right now. It's 8-7, team versus Mack. The Cardinals, this looks like a very winnable game. How important is it that the Cardinals? Well, I actually believe it's important because of the morale of the team, the future of Steve Wilks. Well, what does it mean if they lose? How is Steve Wilks going to explain that? What say you as more of a global view on this game?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that you win the Bay Area, because already two wins against the 49ers and one win against the Raiders, and that means you got three wins in the Bay. So it's like you get the air quality index that's going to be able to go well. That's encouraging. So I guess you could say, no, I think it's just important just to get a win to try to keep everything going in a more positive direction, because it's been so negative. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to be ranked number 32 in the league. There's no doubt about that. And the Raiders are so terrible. They are absolutely awful.
Johnny, wow. On that note right there, when you look at what John Gruden has done, what do you think he's doing? What do you think John Gruden is up to right now?
He has no idea. I mean, because this is just as badly as run of a personnel decision-making process as I've ever seen, because there's no plan. It's almost like he goes in each day and it's like, okay, what disastrous move can I make for this franchise? They got 32 new players on the team. I mean, you go in and you're supposed to be, you're thinking, oh, you're rebuilding. You have the oldest roster in football. That's not good. And now all of a sudden he's starting to weed out some of the guys. Well, actually, I don't know if he's weeding it out. I think the players are weeding it out. The guys in their 30s, they all want out of there. I mean, how many guys in that team want to just retire? I mean, there was a story earlier about Jordy Nelson wanting out, Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, he retired. I mean, it is just an absolute disaster, probably as bad as I've ever seen.
Remember, if you didn't hear what John Clay just said there, he started covering the NFL around the town, around the time most of you weren't born yet that are listening to the Doug and Wolf Show right now. John, I have to ask, bad football decisions or just plain tanking with the Raiders?
No, bad football decisions. Because, you come in, you start talking about, oh, we're here to try to win a championship. And if you're trying to tank, I mean, how do you go with the oldest roster in football? I mean, the last one I remember doing something like that was Matt Millen when he took over in Detroit, and he was trying to rebuild that team, and he had an old roster. The Raider roster was 27.4 years of age on each average player, and that's just horrible. I mean, the 15 players that were 30 years old, that's not good. And you look at just about most roster decisions, then you trade away your best players. Mm-hmm. You just shake your head and say, what are you doing?
Speaking of what are you doing, talk about Mexico City and Estadio Azteca. What happened there?
Just poor management. I blame this more on the city than I do the league, although the league has to, I think, make a quicker decision on this. They waited until Tuesday. They could have probably decided this a month ago how bad the stadium was. But you go out and you have a concert that tears up the stadium. Then you have all these games that were scheduled for soccer. And understanding that if you're going to have a soccer field, it's going to be a little bit looser with the way that they have the grass, because you want it better for the soccer players. But that doesn't fit for football. And so now you get to the Tuesday before the game, you have all the things going on with the Rams. And honestly, I mean, what the Rams went through as far as the people in the organization, the players and that, just horrible. 75 to 100 players, people in the organization, about 10 to 15 players, coaches and that, they had to be evacuated. Oh. And so now you go through and you suffer through all those difficult things. And then the next thing you know you're training for the high altitude and you have to move all the way to Colorado Springs just to try to do that. And so you have no time. I mean, there's still people that haven't been able to move back to their homes yet, but they can't, you know, because they're sitting there in Colorado Springs now training for a game that's going to be in Los Angeles. Just absolute disaster.
Yeah.
Talking to John Clayton, the Doug and Wolf NFL insider of ClaytonFootball.com here on the Doug and Wolf Show. We do it every Friday at 7:30. A lot of articles lately, and this is the time of year, especially after the Browns have already made a move, where coaching hot seat is the big topic. On a John Clayton coaching hot seat topic, would Steve Wilks be on it?
I still shy away from that. It's still hard to imagine in after 1 year that you do it. Like, for example, for ClaytonFootball.com, I put 11 different people that are on the hot seat because I think this is going to be maybe as strange of an offseason as we're going to have since like about 2009, 2010, when there was about 11 changes. I had 11. I didn't put Wilks on there because I think he's a good coach. And also, it's hard to imagine after 1 year you can do it. But I guess you'd have to say that he might be on that list. But I didn't put him on my list. I guess it's too extensive. And when you're talking about 11 coaching changes, where are you going to go as far as finding the right coaches? I mean, you know, everybody seems to want around the league an offensive head coach who can call plays. Well, you're starting to run out of those guys. You know, I think I was at the game last night, Seattle going against Green Bay. I think Mike McCarthy is going to be available. But is he going to go to Cleveland with John Dorsey? I mean, I think he'll get 3 to 4 to 5 offers. But, I mean, you're running out of coaching candidates if all of a sudden you start to go with a first-year coach and you let him go.
How hot, because that's exactly where I was going, how hot is the seat for McCarthy, and would McCarthy's free agency affect Steve Wilks at all?
Well, I mean, again, I think that, Mike will be at the top of the list. I thought last year, even though it hasn't worked out, that Pat Shurmur was going to be among the top people. Now, you know, John Gruden topped him getting a $10 million a year deal. But, you want an offensive play caller, and Mike McCarthy's an offensive play caller. And so, you know, it does to me look like if they don't make the playoffs, and that loss to Seattle last night, I think really puts them out of the playoff mix. It's going to be too hard to rebound that McCarthy's going to be available. But, you know, John Dorsey's going to try to get him in Cleveland. Again, I think 3 to 4 to 5 offers, but it's going to be, again, one where, you know, who are they going to be the candidates for offensive play callers? John DeFilippo in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. You know, you got Matt LaFleur down in Tennessee, and then you start to run out of guys.
Mm. You know, Johnny, I'm with you on Steve Wilks. I don't think there's any way he's going to get fired this year. That's me, great. And I could be dead wrong on that, but you said you put together this list. Give me another big name other than Mike McCarthy, another big name that you think could be fired.
John Harbaugh and Jason Garrett. I mean, those are the two other guys that have experience who's been in the league for some time. If those guys don't make the playoffs, I think they're going to be available. I mean, you already know that the owner of the team in Baltimore last year, Steve Bisciotti, said that he was considering firing him this past year in 2017. Now they don't make the playoffs this year, and it looks pretty bad because now you don't know if Joe Flacco is going to be able to play this week. I think he could be available. I think it's all set up right now, if the Cowboys don't make it, that Jason Garrett is going to be let go. So I think you got three head coaches that have been there for an extended period of time that could be gone.
If you want more John Clayton in your life, you can download the Doug and Wolf podcast, or you can go to claytonfootball.com. John, good morning. Thanks again. Good to talk to you. Talk to you next week.
Thank you.